How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life. Is your money mindset holding you back not only from making more, but feeling good? Hello, hello, I'm back. Welcome, ladies, to the podcast. And I'm really excited for today's conversation. I'm going to be sharing with you an interview that I did with Denise Duffield Thomas. And I'm going to introduce her in a moment. But before we dive in, I want you to really pay attention to today's conversation. We are going to be talking about money, but we're talking a lot about women in general, our beliefs, traditional trauma, and really stepping up and into who we want to be. If you've been following me for a while or listening to me, you understand that I am very aware of the pain and the discomfort of motherhood, and also how it feels to be a woman in modern culture. Of course, we all have our own different life experiences, upbringing, and my goal is to help you feel alive, to guide you back home to yourself. And we have two paths. We can constantly focus on what's not working, or we can shift our energy and attention to a growth mindset. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to show up? But the second you choose to have to develop a growth mindset in parenting, in your money, in your health, in your relationships, in your work, in your fulfillment, any area of your life, the second you choose to have a growth mindset, growth equals emotional discomfort. And this is what I teach people inside of my programs. This is what I teach people in my book. This is what I teach people in every time I open my mouth to talk. And I walk around the world seeing women and men constantly stuck in a lack mindset. And I truly, truly believe in this day and age, the world does not benefit from your exhaustion. It does not benefit from your lack of fulfillment. It does not benefit from you feeling not enough. So our job as individuals is to show up for ourselves so that we can show up for other people. And if we first cannot show up for ourselves, than to show up for other people by showing up for ourselves. In the coming weeks, you're going to hear from me more and more and more. And I'm also making this podcast more interactive and doing live podcasts where you can come and listen and ask questions and interact. And in order to do that, we typically send out the invite to my text list. So if you want to be invited and be the first to know when I host the next live podcast, where's that accent coming from? Make sure you are on that list. You can text me at 313-710-5199. 313-710-5199. It's a US-based phone number, and I don't think it works for international people. So 313-710-5199. Text me, get on that list, and just say hello. Make magic happen. And yeah, we're going to dive in. So Denise Duffield Thomas is a money mentor for the new wave of Denise Duffield Thomas is a money mentor for the new wave of online entrepreneurs who want to make money and change the world. She helps women charge premium prices, release the fear of money, and create first-class lives. Her book, Lucky Bitch, Get Rich, Lucky Bitch, and Chillpreneur gives a fresh and funny roadmap to living a life of abundance without burnout. Awesome. Okay. We need to, if you do not know Denise, you need to know Denise. She's been around for a very long time, and you can check her out online, all of her amazing free resources at denisedt.com, denisedt.com. And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm not an online entrepreneur, I'm not an entrepreneur, listen to this. You don't even need to own a freaking business to change your money mindset. Let's make magic happen. Let's dive in. I want to hear from you. What did you think? Take a screenshot and tag me and Denise on Instagram at Heather Chauvet. Let's dive in. Denise, welcome to the podcast.
Heather, thank you so much for having me on here. I'm so excited to chat today about all things money and living our best lives.
Yeah, the contrast, which is constantly there for us. And we were just talking previously about, you know, we have so many of these conversations, or I'm sure you have so many of these conversations, and every community or podcast host has their different take on it. And I think for women, it's a little bit of a different conversation, especially when it's around motherhood. And I attract a lot of women who have the desire for more. And then it's like, But. So I know that's what you're all about. And I just wanted to why take a stand for money? Like, why was that your thing that you grabbed onto when you were like, I'm going to go out there in the world. This is part of my message.
Well, for a long time, I wasn't going to teach about money. I was very focused on how do I make myself free and independent? And for me, that was completely directly correlated to seeing not only my mother, but my grandmother, all my aunties who were really trapped in situations. And I couldn't understand as a kid. I was just like, well, if you're constantly bitching about your bad husband, like, just leave him. And now, obviously, on the other side of it, as a grown-up myself, I'm like, well, they couldn't because they didn't have any money to do it. And not only didn't have the money, but their jobs available to them were really inflexible or just not conducive to raising kids by themselves. And so I knew in my 20s, I was like, well, I have to be independent. I have to make my own money. And entrepreneurship for me was a real struggle, I would say, for the first couple of years, especially because I didn't realize the depth of insecurity and lack of confidence around money that so many of us have grown up with. And so I just kind of had this feeling, well, I'm just not good with money, or I'm not good with numbers. And it wasn't until quite, you know, probably, I don't know, 8 years or so into my entrepreneurial journey of side hustling, trying to find my niche, that I was like, I think I've just got some really underlying thoughts and beliefs about money. So I combined all the things that I'd learned about personal development, because I'd read all the books, with money stuff. And then of course, I'm the kind of person, if I learn something, I want to teach it and share it. But the intention wasn't there to like, I'm going to help other women. I was like, I'm going to help myself for a long time. And then now I see it as a much wider conversation around feminism and for women being able to have choice. And that impacts the next generation, because wouldn't it be amazing if kids now have a really healthy view of money and they don't see it as something that's dirty or evil? And we crowd out that conversation, because there are a lot of evil rich people in the world, let's face it, who don't care about the environment. They don't care about children. They don't care about making the world a better place for anyone except for themselves. And so now I've got a deeper understanding of that. And that's what I'm super passionate about.
When was that always there for you, that about like money and feminism, or did you realize that as time went on? Like you alluded to it that in your 20s, you were like, just leave, just go. And then didn't really realize like the barriers in place. Do you remember when you had that aha moment?
Well, I thought feminism was a real dirty word for a long time.
I think I did too, to be honest with you. I was like, I'm an independent woman, I'm good. And then I was like, oh, this is deeper.
For sure. And now realizing there's so many different types of feminism, but also realizing feminism is about equality for everybody.
Yeah.
And I would say I came to that really late, embarrassingly enough. And there's something there for me about when I had my first baby, I really felt like, oh my God, there are women who do this on dirt floors. Mm. And it really made me feel connected to humanity in a way that I hadn't before. And I'm not saying you have to have kids to have that, not at all. But for me, I think that did make me feel connected to the world in a different way. But yeah, I would still say it was only fairly recently that I felt confident even calling myself feminist, not only because I had a misunderstanding of the word, but also because I thought, oh, I'm not... I'm not an activist or I'm not brave enough to stand up. And so I felt like there was a bit of a purity test to call oneself a feminist. but now I'm, you know, I recognize that comes from a place of real privilege where I have extra energy to devote to some of the things that I'm passionate about outside of earning money. And there's a real privilege to that. And so I'm really active on Twitter, for example. Mm-hmm. And I had someone be like, you know, this isn't becoming of you to be on Twitter, like telling people to F off basically. and I was like, but I've got time. I've got time to do this. And I don't think being on Twitter is activism, but there's something there about having the extra bandwidth to push back on something. That my mom didn't have that opportunity. Mm. She didn't have any bandwidth.
I love this conversation because lately I've been thinking about taking a stand, right? Like if you have the privilege and the opportunity, which I think we have way more than we even realize, like especially the spoken word, right? Like when you're in a room with someone and you're like, ooh, that did not land well. And you're just like, I'm just going to turn away and walk out of the room. It's like, stay and engage and speak. And because you have the opportunity, you have the privilege of doing so. So let's talk about that and money and impact, because I hear a lot of, you know, we all hear it every day you hear it. And I know there's always more unpacking of money stuff, like chronically. I'm curious your opinion too, if that ever goes away or it's like new level, new devil, like there's always something there that you're working through, but maybe a little bit of like the impact you actually have when you're making money in your business or in your life in general as a woman. And if you've anything you had to say about that, like the nurturing aspect, it always seems like women are like, I want to make an impact. And the importance of doing that in a sustainable way.
Great question. So when I started making more money, I was just like, oh, wow, I can give money to that GoFundMe. I can, you know, I don't know, give money to charity. And I started to realize I was doing it in a very willy-nilly way. Don't know if that translates willy-nilly all over the place. And so I actually hired a philanthropy coach because I thought, hey, I'm new money. I don't know how to be a wealthy person. And I still am learning all the time, which is obviously great privilege. I call it hashtag lucky bitch problems. But I was like, I want to make sure that I'm making an impact in a really sustainable, smart way. And so the coach asked me, do you want to help people who have just fallen off a cliff, or do you want to prevent people from falling off a cliff in the first place? And I was like, I've never thought about that before.
What an impactful question.
So much, right? Because I was like, well, both. And he's like, yeah, that's totally fine. You can totally do both, but let's do it in an intentional way. And so I love being able to go, oh my God, someone needs something right now. Cool. Let's fund that. But I started researching a little bit about long-term change. And so, for example, the no smoking ban, we think that that just happened because public opinion changed and no one likes smoking anymore, so we banned it. But he was telling me that that took decades and decades of behind the scenes money to pay for studies on the effects of smoking and third party smoking and things. It didn't just happen. And so I was like, imagine putting money into something that you might not see the fruition for decades. And so we actually just got an email today from our philanthropy kind of team. And they were like, okay, so when we were talking last, you were talking about like the erosion of democracy. Okay. I know this, we're going such deep topics today.
We thought we were just gonna talk about money. I told you, I said it's going to be deep.
Yeah. And because I was like, oh my God, I'm seeing it in America. I'm seeing it in Australia. I'm seeing it in the UK, that people don't trust the democratic process. And, you know, there's, and so I was like, well, what do we do about that? Because there's a lot of money that goes into making things unfair in the world. There's tons of billionaires and nefarious people pumping money into things like that. And so I was like, well, what do we do about that? And so, for example, there are organizations that you can fund, especially in America, where it's readying women to be active in politics. And that can take decades because they start, you know, they start people recruiting people when they're younger and giving them the confidence and the tools, then they help them run. And these are people who might not get elected to major positions for, it could be decades. So when I look at things like that, I go, I don't know the right answer to where to put my money to make the best change, but I want more women to have that problem.
Yes.
of going, we've got extra funds. Where are we going to put that money? And even that conversation itself is what changes the world, because there are studies that show when women have more money, we look at how do we improve the collective? Mm. How do we make sure that other people's children are fed? Because we know that that creates change down the future. And it could be a small thing in your community where you go, I'm going to volunteer at a breakfast club for kids.
Yeah.
That you don't know the impact that that could have in the future of a kid just having enough food so they can concentrate in school. And it's those little micro shifts that we have no idea where that's going to go. But me and my friend, we think about that stuff. Mothers think about that stuff. You know, people who have been oppressed, who have had poor backgrounds, people who remember what it's like to not have enough food, they're the ones that should have more money and more resources because they're going to be thinking about that. So yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I want us to all have more money.
I love this conversation. I was getting goosebumps all over my body. So I'm like, oh yes, yes, yes. I'm in Canada, by the way. I know 99% of people online are Americans. There is Australians. You guys are, and UK. That's a lie. Everyone is all over the place, but we're all like-minded. That's what it is. When you find your people, I'm like, I had to just go online to find my tribe, like just find my community.
Yes. And just on that too, our grandmothers didn't have that.
Yes.
And yeah. I just think we are in just such an amazing time where we can use the power of connection and the internet in particular to find our community so we don't feel like we're alone, so we can get support, so we can have one degree of separation away from someone who's doing what we want to do. That's so powerful. We talked about that before we hit record, that me sharing my early stages of business inspired you to do it. And the same thing happened to me when other people had done that. Whereas if we were born 20 years earlier than when we would have been sitting in our towns going, well, there's something wrong with me because I want something more and I'm not allowed to have it. And we would have been forced to live that wouldn't have been many other opportunities, especially not for our grandmothers, let alone our mothers.
So I know that you and I, it's like money is the label, but that's not really the conversation, because I want to talk about like the energetic exchange of money and like why we need to charge for what we put out there. But before we do that, to kind of just circle what you just said, I had a conversation with a woman today, and it was a quick conversation. I was just doing a check-in with, sometimes I like to reach out and be like, I want to talk to some podcast listeners just to like give back, but also like get, you know, just get in their brain. And she looked at me, I might start crying, but she looked at me, she said, Heather, I listened to your podcast about 4 years ago and I had severe postpartum depression and I wanted to die. And I'm a nurse, and she's a nurse. And she goes, you brought me back to life. And I just, you know, we were, and she goes, and now I'm at the point where I have this deep, deep calling and I try to run away from it. And I said, where would you be if I didn't podcast? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, where would you be if I didn't podcast and you didn't hear my story? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm passing the baton to you. Like, you now have to go tell your story. Wow. You don't have an option. This calling is there. And the more you ignore it, the bigger it's going to get. And so, you know, that's what we try to do, is run away from our truth because it scares the crap out of us and no one else is doing it. So regardless, we're not going to label it as coaching. We're not going to label it as online business. I mean, you could be doing anything in the world, but when those desires are screaming at you and you're like, you know, I want more, I want this, I want to make an impact. Where does money come into play? Because I see so much of women overgiving. They're like, it's so easy for me, it feels so good. Can we talk a little bit about why the exchange is so important?
Yeah, gosh, there's so much in that. So one, I think it's just so ingrained in us to just give and want to contribute. And again, if we went back, I don't know, 50, 100 years, those of us who had that desire to help, we were probably the medicine woman in town, or everyone's friend, or the doula who went and helped everyone's babies being born. And we did it for no money, because that's part of the collective, or we did it for eggs and chickens and a bartering kind of thing. And that's fine. That's great. But we do live in a world where money is our exchange, and we can't hold ourselves back, because there are enough disadvantages put on women, on people of color, people with disabilities. There's enough of that from the world anyway, that we have to be in our own corner and accept that money is the currency of the day, and it can allow us to help other people. So I think we have to get right in ourselves around that, of going, okay, it's safe for me to charge anything, and that's valid. I think the other part of that is, often say for example you had an online community, and I see people do this a lot, where they create like maybe a free Facebook group to help people with a particular thing, or they're a part of the community. That is seen as totally invisible work. And it's a lot. Like, it takes energy to hold space for people, to listen to people, to hold a community together. But it's just not being, it's not being quote unquote work, right? So we have to, again, we have to get okay with that. And realizing how much we can do with our money. You know, we can build schools, we can feed children, we can create our dream house, we can employ other people. And that's okay. That's okay too. So I find then the actual mechanics of it, like asking for a pay increase, raising your prices, stopping bartering arrangements, putting together a course, all of that stuff's logistics. That's the 20%. 80% of it is unpacking our stories around money and the stories within that and the nuances within that, because I still have not run out of things to talk about. I've been teaching Money Bootcamp, which is my money course, for 9 years. And every single time we have a call together, I'm like, oh man, that's new stuff I had never even thought about. Because we have our own experiences, how we grew up, the contrast between what we had and other people had, the stories that our family instilled in us around women or around what professions we wanted to go into. There's so much to unpack. The stories that we heard from film and TV, from other people, from the lineage that we grew up in, the cultural norms that we grew up in. There's endless amounts to unpack around that. And it doesn't take perfection. It just takes a willingness to be curious and to start pulling out those threads and seeing what meaning we put behind that and unpacking that and giving ourselves permission to earn money, even though we're not perfect, because you're never going to be.
Ooh, I like that last one. Giving yourself permission. And I find it's like the discernment of how do I want to receive it? And what does that look like? Just because there's a different way to do it, or a new funnel, or okay, now there's Clubhouse, or there's this or that. It's like, what am I choosing? And really constantly coming back to that space of what works for me, what feels good, what feels aligned in this season. It may shift if you move a different season.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because we obviously go through different seasons of age stuff, right? And some people choose to have kids and some people don't. Our bodies shift and change over time too. And I can see perimenopause on its way, right? And even seeing now, because no one ever talks about it, so I didn't see, but I'm in these perimenopause groups where women are saying, I've suddenly lost all this confidence at work and I'm not going to go for that promotion. I can't handle that extra level of responsibility now. And I was thinking, oh my God, there are so many layers to disadvantage for around women and money. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, we have to honor that. You know, I see so many women who have really young kids and they're not getting enough sleep and they're beating themselves up about, you know, oh, well, I'm not where I should be. And it's like, yeah, you're not getting enough sleep. Yeah. Like, be gentle and compassionate with yourself. People with chronic illnesses who are beating themselves up about not being in the hustle culture, you know, and you can't. But the opportunity that we have is to create leveraged income, you know, to create passive income sources, to use technology to help us with different things in our lives. That's the opportunity. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect or easy for everybody, but I think that season thing is so important. But giving ourselves the buffer, so then if a hard season comes along, it's not going to derail us, you know. And like, I mean, you and I both live in countries with socialized medicine, for example. You see in America, some people go bankrupt because of one little illness, you know. And if you can have enough and build those safety nets for yourself, then you can ride out those waves that, again, you know, our grandparents didn't necessarily have that opportunity. You know, they got pregnant, they had to leave their jobs.
Yeah.
Some of them.
And that goes back to what you were just talking about with how it takes like generations and decades for these cultural conversations to change. And I had that moment when COVID hit and, you know, I looked at my husband who works within the company now, and he did have his 9 to 5 like years before when I was sick. And I remember I was like, this is deja vu, but I'm like, we're not in the same financial place because of the work that we did from that, you know, from that situation. It was like, we took the contrast and said, never again, let's figure it out. And then of course you always do that, but being in that situation, I could see the contrast of why wealth is so important, why doing the inner work is so important to get to the next level, because we're sitting there going, we're not sinking, we're not in survival mode. So here, now we can give back, here we can help with our time, our financial resources, in doing so that not everyone is in the exact same place in survival mode. And like, I'm curious your personal feelings on being a role model I see a lot of, I tell people, I'm like, you got to practice what you preach. You know, what advice would you give your friend? Okay, great. That's the advice that you need right now. And stepping into that as leadership, as women, regardless if it's in business or money or whatever, because the impact that really has on how we're going to change the conversation and the world.
Totally. I would say that I really shied away from that for a long time. And here's the shift that I made that made all the difference. In the online space as well, there is a lot of smoke and mirrors sometimes. And especially now, people are really, you know, creating a brand for themselves. But I think the pressure to be perfect really impacts a lot of us. And we think, well, okay, I will get on camera and I will go for speaking gigs, but only after I've lost, you know, that last dress size that I'm looking for, or I don't look like a leader, so I'm not allowed to do it, or I can't show that part of myself because people won't like it. And so for me, what really helped is going, oh my God, I am so passionate about women and money. I'm okay to contribute to this conversation and not put myself on this pedestal. I'm going to say it first. I'm not Oprah. I'm not Susie Orman. And that helped for me because then I was like, well, I don't have to be the one. I don't have to be the leader of the leaders. I don't have to be the guru. I'm a contributor. So if someone says, I don't like your take on this, I'll go, that's totally fine. It's one perspective. And I encourage you to go read other money books and other entrepreneur books. I am not your source of everything. Part of that too was getting over my ego of being the go-to girl. Mm. And I was the go-to girl for all my family, and I still kind of am. And I had to practice saying, I don't know. That's not my area of expertise. And that hurt because I was always like, ah, but I can figure it out. I can be everything to everyone. And I still have to work on this today to not be everything to everyone. To work on one of my inner things is I'm responsible for everyone. I am responsible. And I don't know if that's just, you know, I had a really young mum growing up. I'm oldest of four. But there's something there about the pressure that we put on ourselves to be perfect. But as you said, Heather, that lady wouldn't have heard your story, well, if you hadn't done it in the first place, but there was something in it that was like the key to her lock for that moment in time. Yeah. And so we do have to get over ourselves sometimes and go, is this going to be helpful to at least one other person? Cool. That's enough. Not everyone at every stage of their life and every problem that they have, but will it contribute to someone's life where they're at? Yes. And this is why I also say to people who are brand new in business, I go, look, sometimes people need to hear it from someone who's not too far away from their situation.
Yeah.
And like, I am so far away now from those real desperate moments of my first year in business where you like feel like you're going to die when you publish your first blog post. Like you feel like suddenly everyone's going to see you and jump on you and pile on. And it's so scary. I am like, I'm over a decade past that. And so someone needs to hear it from someone who was there 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago. And that's why it's so important. I heard actually someone say about Billie Eilish is just did this photo book kind of memoir thing, right? Mm-hmm. Someone was like, how dare she create her first memoir? You have to be like 90. Like, how arrogant. And I'm like, but teenagers aren't going to read a 90-year-old's memoir.
Yeah.
They want to hear it from someone who is in the same boat as them, who they look up to and relate to. And that's why we all have a voice. Mm-hmm. We all have a right to speak up and share our experiences because it will help someone. The only caveat to that is I think it's hard to share when you're in it because that can be yuck depending on what it is.
Yeah.
If it's you're just blurting your pain out on somebody, that doesn't always work. Or like you don't have to share everything in your life either. There's something there. So yeah, everyone's voice is valid.
I just think if everybody stepped into their truth, you know, we all did the inner work, but everyone stepped into their truth. Like you just said, it's that key for somebody. And it gives you the freedom to just go, I'm going to be me. Like, I'm going to be me. I'm going to have, I don't know. I think it was like, whether it was you or your assistant, it was like, is there a video? Do I need to put a bra on for this interview? And every time I've watched you, like in the last decade, it's been like, it's refreshing. Oh, good. Oh, good. And not only are you like, I get to be comfortable, but I get to be me and give somebody else permission to do the exact same thing. And I just did the audio of my book and oh my goodness, my childhood shit came up so hardcore because I make up words. And he's like, Heather, that's not even how the sentence was read. And all my shame and crap came up and I was like, fuck this. When I podcast, this does not sound like this. And he's like, I know, you just got to get through it for audibles. And I thought to myself, when you are just you, you realize all the conditioning that we have, the education, the you're not enough, and how regardless of who you are, your children, we need to let go of the pressure of like, they're going to fail or I'm going to fail or I'm failing. It's like, no, we just need to accept who we are. And really lean into that. But I think that's the whole freaking purpose of life is just to become ourselves, become of who we are.
Definitely. And you know what? The only tool I really teach is self-love and acceptance. And, you know, even in my money boot camp, so much of it is rooted in like, it's okay, you're enough. And we come at it from so many different angles, but that's what it really comes down to. And that's all I teach my kids. You know, we have conversations around money where I try and like not give them the things that I learn about money of like money is dirty. I go, hey, we don't put money in our mouth. We take care of money in our family, just little things like that. But I teach them self-love. And so every night before bed, we do self-love affirmations because then everything else falls into place around that. And that doesn't mean it's always going to be perfect, but I was just, you know, reflecting on like when I've seen people who look like me, you know, like on TV or in brand photos or something, I'm like, oh my God, it changes people to see someone who looks and sounds like them. And we all have so many excuses, you know, about our weight, our appearance, our accent, everything, but that's so powerful to see that diversity and someone needs to see it.
I love that. So what is it's always nice to give our younger selves a pep talk. What would you say to that younger version of you? Maybe when she was starting on her own personal development journey and really digging deep into her money stuff, what did she really need to hear?
You are enough. That's it. You are enough. Take the pressure off. Because I just remember, especially actually corporate life was very scary for me too. I would sweat a lot at work. I always had anxiety about what I was saying and how I looked and, you know, and I think if we can just teach younger people that self-love and acceptance, and I do think this generation has it more than we did because, you know, it seems to be part of who they are, of loving, accepting each other. And they still have that anxiety, but you know, that's really the only thing we all need to work on. Yeah. That's it.
It all comes back to love. It all comes back to love. And I know you talk a lot about this, but just to wrap it up is seeing money as a relationship. Can you explain that? Because some people don't get money, your relation to money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because we barely even spoke really about money in itself because I think money is just a tool. You know, it really is just a tool. And I think in my early days of branding, I would do stuff like with money and like people will send me like, oh, look at these cool like money earrings or this money towel. And I was like, oh, money, it's just a tool. Like I don't even really think about it as much anymore. And it's a tool that we can learn to shift and like turn into whatever we want, which is really cool. So I forgot the question that you were going to ask me.
I was going to say your relationship.
Yeah. So I see it now. It's we're in a co-creation of what we want to see in the world. And that's how we can see it. Money's not better than us. It's not above us. It's not something that's evil. It's just something that we can use as a tool to shift and change, shift and make the change that we want to see in the world. And that's it. And that requires that we go within, we look at how we have had an abusive relationship with money, that we have had misunderstandings. And you can really see it as that. Like, you can do all that work that we see in books where it's like, cut the cords, or like, do forgiveness and send love to relationships. And it's like, well, we can do that with money, because we all have regrets. We have resentments around money. We have bad experiences. We have bad stories. We have stories around the evil that has been created in the world through money and love of money. And so the healing of that is the same as healing of anything. And, you know, we talked about like that child stuff. So we say inner child work, right, is some one of the healing tools that people mention. Well, you can do inner teen work as well, because I think when you're a young person, that's when your stories around money really come up, of like, she's got this and we don't have that. And I recommend people like go and do some inner healing work for their teen, of like, go to the stores that you felt like were out of reach as a kid. See what stories came up around what your family had compared to other families, and really examine your relationship that started from, you know what, our first interaction with money came usually pre 2 years old. And it's when a grown-up said, don't put money in your mouth, money's dirty. So many of us have to heal that first interaction that we had when we were just a toddler. And we all, that is such a universal experience for those of us grew up when money was like more physical. Most of us had that experience. And that's the first one we have to heal.
Wow. I never thought about that one. I can like not taste it, but like feel it. It's like, oh, it's so dirty. I'm always curious what our children's money stories are going to be, because it has changed so much. Like my 8-year-old would be like, I want this. It's like, I'm getting it like right now, this second. And, you know, is that on Amazon Prime? Like, it needs to come now. And I'm like, well, it doesn't work like that, but let's have this conversation. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter how much healing you do on yourself. Our children have their own things that they will need to heal as well.
They absolutely will. But there's two things that we can do. So one is, we don't say money is dirty. That's such an easy shift to make, where we just go, hey, we take care of money in our family. Like, that's, I aim for neutrality around some of those things that were ingrained in us. The other thing that I do that's so important, I see the impact of this every day, is we have to stop telling kids at birthday parties to make a wish, but don't tell anyone or it won't come true. Because I see this impact of women every day, and I say, what's your goal? And they cannot tell me, because they've been told for so many years that saying their dreams out loud will jinx it, will, you know, it won't come true.
That's so true.
Yeah. And we've heard that not only at our own birthday parties, think of all the birthday parties you've been to. You don't even remember it being said, but it's ingrained.
I remember watching videos, watching movies, and I was like, oh, are they going to say it? Like, are they going to say the secret? And yeah, because don't say it, it won't come true.
Exactly. And I didn't realize this until I was watching Cinderella with my oldest. She was maybe 3. And the very first scene is that the mice bring Cinderella birthday card, and they go, Cinderella, what do you wish for? And she goes, oh, I can't tell you my dream. It won't come true. And I just went, oh my God, we do this to each other all the time. And it might seem like a really small thing, but there are two things. Like, if you have any kids in your life, you might be an auntie, or you might be a parent yourself. You know, I say to the kids, hey, in our family, we do talk about our dreams because we want to help each other make them come true. Oh, and so I feel like that in our family thing really works, because then it's not like saying they're wrong. It's just like, well, in our family, these are our values around money. And they're two things that we can change so easily, even just by noticing how often they show up in different places and point it out to the kids in your life and go, no, it's safe to talk about your dreams. It's okay to talk about your dreams.
I love
just those little things.
I feel like I could ask you a million questions. I want to ask you one more and then where everyone can get more of you. How do you know when it's time for you to heal another money block or look at something? Like, do you have a cue or something that comes up for you?
Yeah, great question. I find that they often come up when you're trying to expand and do something different. So if you're an entrepreneur, they usually come up when you're launching something, or when you're starting a creative work, like maybe you're procrastinating writing a book or creating a course. That's when they're all going to come up. But there's so many different times, right? It could be when you see your family. You might think, oh, I'm all good. And then you see your dad and your dad's like, you know, what are you charging for this? Are you qualified? Or like your Uncle Bob or something like that. And so, I mean, there's opportunities all the time. And this is why I love my work. I love my community because everyone's going through all different things at the same time. And they act as triggers for all of us, right? Someone's like, well, I just found out I'm pregnant and I've got all these stories that having a baby is going to ruin my ambition. And people can chime in, hey, no, babies bring abundance. Someone else might be like, you know, I have a family member who's going through a tricky time and I feel really guilty about earning money when there are people suffering in the world. And so I feel like because I'm in that community, I get a chance to get triggered every day at examines. So I think it's important to be in conversation with people who are curious.
Yeah.
So we're not in like trauma all the time, but a real place of like, oh, wow, I have that too. How interesting. Or I have it in this different way. Or, oh, wow, I used to have it. And this is how I solved it. So I used to think that there was a certain amount of money that was like, oh, now I'm cured. And, you know, like I make great money. I live in an I live a very abundant life, and I'm still finding new triggers all the time.
And that's so refreshing.
It's just life, right?
Yeah,
it's life.
Yeah. I think it's
like
life,
a big one for me is
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say a big one for me is guilt. You know, but I had that when I wasn't earning any money.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, I still have this feeling of like, well, who am I to be so abundant when there's suffering in the world? But I used that as an excuse to not get even started on my business for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So at least now, yes, I still feel that guilt and helplessness that the world isn't perfect, but I have some abundance to share around that. And then that brings up, you know, that will bring up new stuff of like, well, how much is enough to give? So you're constantly be growing and changing, but come at it from a place of curiosity, not like I'm a terrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Place. So the self-love is ongoing. I have to work on it all the time still.
Well, I love that because it's not a race, right? There is no end game. There is no arrival. It's like, okay, ooh, there we go. Another opportunity to be curious and to dig deeper. My book came out in March and I've been having this weird inner identity crap going on. And I'm like, interesting. It's like, there's always going to be something to unpack and unfold. And I think when you choose entrepreneurship, just like parenting, I always say parenting is personal growth on steroids. And I truly believe business is the same. It's just, you know, maybe you wouldn't have healed as quickly because you're just like, got to rip off those layers. And sometimes the wound doesn't even have time to like put a little scab on top before you're on to the next one. But again, we're not running a race, like go at your own pace and really having that inner self-love, as you said. So you have books, you have a podcast, where can people find you? You have your money boot camp. Let everyone know.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got something for every modality. Like my books are on Audible. Yes. And recording them. Oh my God. It's a nightmare. It takes forever, doesn't it? They're on Kindle, they're in paperback, and they're available the normal places, you know, like Amazon and Barnes and Noble, all the places. If you like podcasts, I just launched a brand new podcast on iTunes. It's called Chill and Prosper with Denise Duffield Thomas. I'm really excited about it. But my website is denisedt.com. That's also my social handle everywhere. So, you know, at Denise DT on Insta, Facebook, and Twitter. But remember I said Twitter is like where I just tell people. Twitter is like my activist place. I love hearing from people on Instagram. So I love getting DMs. I love hearing, because I'm a Virgo, I like being of service. I love hearing what ahas came up. Not just like, oh, I love the conversation with you and Heather. It's like, and I shifted this belief, or I did this, or I launched my own podcast. And that's a really great way for people, if they want to get in touch, is through Instagram DM. It's fun.
I love that. I always say that. Yeah. I'm like, just be direct. You have no idea. Sometimes we're talking to ourselves and we're like, is anyone listening? And that feedback is really important.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the impact you're making by being of service to others, knowing that they were of service to you. So thank you so, so much. And talk a little bit about your money boot camp.
Oh yeah, of course. So Money Bootcamp is a community, and it's a series of tools and techniques for you to uncover where your money blocks have come from and what to do about them. So all the details for that are at denisedt.com/bootcamp. We've had over 7,000 people go through that, and it's a really beautiful, supportive community too, where people are, and this is the funny thing, people are making their first dollar in their business and they're making their first $1 million, and everyone is equal because it's the same work, mm-hmm. which I love. It's the same mindset work that you have to do, whether it's your first dollar or your first $1 million. And so if anyone knows that they need to do that kind of work, come over and join us. It's just awesome. All the details on my website.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Well, that's it. And I wanted to thank you for listening today, because I truly believe you are exactly where you need to be. And now I have a favor to ask. In exchange for the value you've gained from this free podcast, I'd be forever grateful if you would leave us a review on iTunes. Share the show with at least one woman in your life who you feel would benefit, and or take a screenshot and share it on social media. And always feel free to tag me at Heather Chauvin. The world does not benefit from your guilt and fatigue. The world needs more women who are willing to unlearn everything they've been taught. Women who are courageous enough to feel good and not let guilt run the show. I believe you are that courageous woman. To see if my community and coaching is the right fit for you and your big vision, the relationships you desire, the money, time, energy that you know deep down you are capable of creating, then head on over to heatherchauvin.com/work with me. That's Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/work with me, and take the next step in the right direction. Taking a stand for how you feel means you are taking a stand for how your children show up as adults. And if you have a personal question or topic you'd like me to answer on the podcast, text me 313-710-5199. 313-710-5199. You are so worthy of feeling good. Now go do some scary shit. This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway or my hat, my how do you want to feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the emotionally uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store, but here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway. And then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram. And we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.